We are going to do Daf Peches in Erevin. We're going to start from 5-6 lines from the bottom of Pei Zayin and the Beis. The Gemara over here, it's a new topic, so we'll just start. The Gemara generally was talking about the idea that if you have a plank above water, you're allowed to drop your pail through a chute in order to be able to draw the water from the water underneath and bring it up onto your porch. But the Gemara is going to go off into a side topic for a moment. Tana Rabbanan. We're going to start from about 5-6 lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. You there? Gimel Dvarim Hiter Rav Chanina Ben Akavia Lanchei Tveria. There were three things that Rav Chanina Ben Akavia gave a special heter for the people who lived in Tveria. First of all, Memal Amayim Exusra B'Shabbos. First of all, if you have a porch that overhangs the Kinneret, the water over there, you're allowed to drop your pail through the porch in order to draw water from the body of water there onto your porch. The second thing was B'Taimnim Be'etza. Bury your objects with the wood sticks from the field, and we'll discuss what the issue over there was. You're allowed to do that. Umstavkin ba'aluntis, and you're also allowed to dry yourself with towels on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to go through each one of these three things and figure out what the issue is and tell us why or what the problem was and why it's mutter. The first thing is that you're allowed to fill up your pail with water through a porch on Shabbos. Hadamar is what we just discussed, the idea that it's because there's a chute there and it's a special cooler by water, so it's as if you have a mechitza that goes down to the water, so it's not a problem. What is this business of covering over your fruit, let's say, burying it in these pieces of wood? The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Hishkim lahavi psoilis. If you get up early in the morning to bring psoilis, or the chaff, or the leftovers of something from the field. Now the thing is that early in the morning there's dew on them, so they're wet. And the problem is that this water that's wet, if it gets onto your fruit, is making your fruit wet and makes the fruit susceptible a hechsher lekabel tumo. So it depends. If the reason why you're getting the pieces of the chips early in the morning is because they still have the dew on them and they're wet, and that's the purpose you're doing it, Hareyu b'chiyutan. So then they are included in the special halacha in the Torah of chiyutan, which is that when you put water on a fruit or vegetable willingly, it makes the fruit susceptible to being makabel tumah. So if you're looking for that dampness, that is a problem for it can make something tummy. But if the reason why you're going out early in the morning is because that's a convenient time and you don't want to waste a minute of work, that's the reason why you're going out early, and it happens to be that the things are wet, it's not b'chiyutan. Now, in the terms of the context of what we're talking about, the people in Tveria were very busy people, they weren't lazy at all, so they would go out to the fields very early in order to be able to collect their chips or whatever it was, their pieces of wood that they're going to use for covering their fruit, and it wasn't because they were trying to get the dampness and therefore it wasn't in the mitzvah of b'chiyutan. Again, a special heter for the people of Tveria doesn't necessarily apply to everybody else. And the third halacha is mistafkin ba'aluntis mahi. This idea that you're allowed to dry yourself with a towel, what is this about? The Tanya we learned in a braisa. Mistapeg, odom, ba'aluntis. A person is allowed to dry themselves on a towel on Shabbos. Umanicha b'choloin, and you're allowed to leave it on the windowsill to dry. V'lo yim serena la'ur liyayin, and you're not allowed to give it to the caretakers, the people in the bathhouses that used to take care of the towels. You know, you give it to the servant over there. You're not allowed to give it to them on Shabbos. M'pnei shechoshtin aloysei dover, because we're afraid that if you give it to them, they're going to squeeze it out. And we know squeezing out water, liquid, from a towel, from a beged, is the iser melocho de'araisa of schita, of squeezing out. So therefore, you're allowed to do it yourself, and you're allowed to put it down someplace. And if it dries naturally by itself, that's fine. But if you're going to give it to the caretakers, they're going to dry them out. They may throw them in the dryer, and that's going to be an iser de'araisa. Okay. Reb Shimon Omer, af mevia biyodei l'toich beisai, and Reb Shimon says one other thing, that you're even allowed to bring it into your house, because that he, again, that's the issue of carrying it from one rishus to another rishus, which we'll get into in another week, but that's why Reb Shimon says you can even bring it home. Fine. Amar Rabba Rav Huna, loishanu ela lamalois. That's only to fill up your water from the water underneath and bring it onto the porch. That's okay. Avalishbaich oser. But to pour it from your porch back into the water, that there is no heter for, and it's going to be usr. But the Gemara says, Maskefler Shizik v'chimah ben zeh la'uka. So what's the difference between this and an uka, which is right? An uka is like a, as we discussed before, is like this gutter. That the halacha is that you're allowed to pour water into a gutter, and if it turns out, and the gutter is technically large enough to absorb all the water, but if it turns out that some of the water is going to end up dripping into the Rishus HaRabim, it's not going to be your issue. So why is pouring it back onto your porch in a way that it might drip back into the water underneath? Why is that usur, but pouring it into your gutter is mutter? So the Gemara says, the Gemara answers, hani taimi, hani loy taimi. The difference is that by the uka, it's created in a way that it technically could absorb the water that you're pouring into it, and therefore it's likely not to go into the Rishus HaRabim, and if it does, it's by accident, it's not what you intended. Whereas, in the case of pouring it onto your plank of wood, your porch, where it's not meant to absorb it at all, and eventually it will almost automatically go back into the body of water underneath, it's going to be usur because that's considered as if you intended it, and it's going from your Rishus HaYochid into the Karmelis. Don't say just the opposite, that even though we've been discussing till now that to fill it up is mutter, to bring it into the porch is okay, but to pour is usur. Don't say that. Ella lishpoich nami shari, to pour it onto your porch is also going to be okay. And the logic over here is because it won't necessarily drop into the back into the Karmelis, it just might. And therefore it's mutter. Amrav Shizvi Pshita. So Rav Shizvi says, Pashit Hainu Uka. It's the same thing as Uka, just like we're allowed to pour into the gutter, and if it happens to go into the Rishus HaRabim, it's not my problem, it's mutter. So over here also, I poured it on my porch, and if it happens to go drop back into the body of water, it's not my problem. So what's the Chiddush? The Gemara says, now the Chiddush is exactly what we're worried about. Ma'u detayma hani taimi v'hani loy taimi. I might think that the difference is that in the case of the Uka, where I dig a ditch in order for there to hold the water, it's not supposed to go into the Rishus HaRabim. It's only, you know, in the off chance that it happens to go into the Rishus HaRabim, it's not my issue, it's not my intent. Whereas over here, there's no pouring it onto my porch, there's no way that it's going to be absorbed. It's more likely that it will go back into the body of water, into the Karmelis, and I would have thought that it therefore should be usur, kamash malon, that it's going to be mutter. So that's the point over here why it's going to be mutter. Okay. Then the Gemara continues, b'chein shtei gzusteres, this is back in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says you have one porch on top of the other porch, and you're allowed to go, you're allowed to, only if they make an Erev, you're allowed to use, one porch is allowed to use the other porch. If they don't make an Erev, they're going to both be Aser. So the Gemara says, Amarav Huna, Amarav, lo yishanu ela besmucha. The only time you have a problem is if the two porches are close to each other, and therefore they're somewhat connected, and if you don't make an Erev, you now have two people using one Rishos. But if they're far apart from each other, then the top one is going to be mutter, because the top one is independent and it's not reliant upon the lower porch, and it's an individual porch, it's by himself, so he doesn't have to worry about another rishos. Rav l'taimei, and this is all going according to Rav, the Amar Rav, ein adam oiser al chaveiroi derech avir. A person, if the only way he can get to the second Rishus is of going through airspace of a neutral Rishus, a neutral area, the only way he can get there, it's going to be, so therefore, that's, Rav says, I'm not going to ask her. I'm not going to worry about something coming through what I'll call a neutral intermediate Rishus, in order to make me usur in the first place. That's Rav Lashita. So here too also, if you have two porches that are separated apart from each other, far enough away, that they'd have to go through a fourth Amma area, of a neutral area, so it's also, I don't have to consider them, I don't have to take them into consideration to make this the porch usur. So Amar Abba, Amar Rav Chia, Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Oishia, Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos, there is a concept of Gezel on Shabbos, V'churba Machzir Lebailim. Right. And a churba, so these two sentences actually contradict each other. And a churba, the churba will be considered returning something to the Balim. In other words, the question over here is whether or not this middle area is considered independent or individual to the person who's adjacent to the Churba, or is it really open to the public, to the person, the other people who join the Chorba as well. The issue here is that is it when you have a Chorba and it belongs, it doesn't belong to somebody, but it's part of a, it does belong, the Chorba belonged to somebody originally and he abandoned it. So the question is, does that Chorba, does that ruined area still belong to the person? So on the one hand, he says that yesh gezel b'shabbos, meaning that if somebody else moves into that rishos, he's considered as if he's stealing it. So it's not considered necessarily, it's not considered the original bialim's rishos. Someone else can come in and take rights to that area. But then, on the other hand, the second half of the sentence is b'churba machzer l'bialim, meaning if I put something in that rishos, it is considered belonging to the original owner. It's as if I returned it to the original owner by putting it in that area. So the question is that considered really his rishus, or can someone else come in and use that rishus also? In other words, is that considered my private rishus and I have to make an eruv? Or if somebody else uses that rishus also, is it considered more like public area and is it chayiv to make an eruv, right? Am I saying that wrong?
Yeah,
that's right. Okay. So that's the kind of contradiction in terms over here. So the Gemara said, well, the Gemara is first going to ask that as a question. Oh, gufa kasha, amris yesh gezel b'shabbos. First, we say that you can possibly steal it. It's alma kanya. So we see that he owns it. That someone else can make a kinyan in it. V'churba machzer l'bailim. And then it says, but on the other hand, that if you put something into that rishus, it belongs to the original owner. So amaloi kanya, it seems like it doesn't belong to the second person moved in. So is it kind of like hefker, or does it retain ownership over that area? So the Gemara says, hachi ka'amar, yesh din gezel b'shabbos. There is possible to steal on Shabbos in the churba, ketzad. What would that case be? The churba machzer l'bailim, because we see that if I put something in that rishos, it does work as if I'm returning something to the bialim, meaning that it remains the rishos of that original owner. So since it remains that the rishos of that original owner, therefore, if somebody takes something out of it, there's going to be a din of gezel. So in other words, the Gemara's maskana is that a churba, if it originally belonged to an individual person, it remains in his rishos, even though technically or realistically he abandoned it, halachically it's still considered his rishos. Amar Rabba, masvinan ashmeitzin. But if that's the case, let me ask you a question from our sugya. It says, v'chein shteg zuster zulam alamizu. Now, we have these two porches that are one on top of the other, and they're considered, I have to worry about the fact that someone else is allowed to use my rishos, and I need to make an eruv. If the two porches are close to each other, I need to make an eruv in order to allow the use of the top porch. So the Gemara says, "V'i amr yesh din gezel b'shabbos." But if you hold that there's a din gezel, which means that it belongs really to the individual person, amai oseris. So why does the second guy make me usher? Right? Think about it. If my porch belongs to me, why does the fact that somebody happens to be very close to me, adjacent to me, why does he make it usser? Why does he make my porch now usser for me to use? It's my porch. It's my area. I mean, think about it. If you live in an apartment building and there are two porches next to each other, why do I have to consider my porch open to my next door neighbor, and therefore I have to make an eruv with him just because we happen to be next door neighbors to each other? Why is it usser? If you hold yesh gezel, that means you hold that it still belongs to me. It's mine. So why is it considered a public area? So my answer is, So Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, "Hachav b'may askinon." What's the case over here? Why is it that I have to take the second guy into consideration? Kegoyin she'osu mechitza b'shutves. The Teretz says over here is that we made the mechitza b'shutves, and now since we made the mechitza b'shutves, so now the second guy, in other words, the mechitza that's used, by the way, the shoot, as I call it, that creates the ability to be able to draw the water from the carmelis underneath, from the water, the stream underneath. So since we made that shoot, b'shutfis, so now the bottom guy says, oh yes, we made it on your property, but it's for both of our uses. So now even the bottom guy has a right to use this porch. So the Gemara says, ihachi ki osu l'tachtoin anami. So why is it the halacha that if they made the shoot on the top porch, then they're considered together, whereas if they made the shoot on the bottom porch also, now all of a sudden they don't have to make an eruv? So the Gemara says, kiven da osu l'tachtoinu, because if they made a shoot on the bottom porch also, so then goli daita da'ano b'hadoch lo'nichaloch. If the guy on the bottom porch also makes a shoot, So then essentially what he's saying is that I don't need your top, I don't need your shoot anymore. I don't need your rishus. So if I don't need your rishus, so then I relinquish my light, or I abandon my right to use the top one, and now it goes back to belonging to the individual. In other words, the yisoid that the Gemara said established, which was that if property is owned by an individual, it remains his, and he doesn't have to take anybody else into consideration. So then, this is a bad example, but just for purposes of making the argument, my front lawn that I have is my rishus. I don't have to make an eruv because somebody else is able to, my next door neighbor lives next door to me. I only have to worry about it if I have something on my rishus that gave my neighbor the right to use it. So in the Havamina, the reason why I need the eruv is because we built a shoot together. So both of us, both the top porch and the bottom porch, had a reason to use the top porch for drawing the water out. So now it belonged to two people, we have to make an eruv. Whereas once the bottom porch guy says, you know what, I'm going to stick to my own porch, and you stick to your porch, and we separated ourselves, our rights, from each other, so then Anachanami, the top porch guy, no longer has to worry about his neighbors. He becomes an individual like we always thought originally, and he doesn't have to make an eruv with his neighbors. That's the sugi. So that's what we have to take into consideration. The only time we have to make an eruv is if we did something in a way that gave more than one person the right to use that area. But otherwise, it's my property. I don't have to make an eruv with you. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. Chotzer shehi p'chusa me'arba amos. So now, this is the concept that we discussed on the top of the Amud. Let's say I have an area, my courtyard, my yard, is less than 4 amos, as Rashi later in the sugya says, 4 amos squared. It's less than 4 squared amos. So then, ein shayfchem b'soychem mayim b'shabbos. You're not allowed to pour, let's say, your dishwater. You're not allowed to pour your dirty water out into my chotzer on Shabbos, Elim Kain Asalai Uka. Unless I made some sort of ditch where the water will be trapped. Machseka Sasayim Minha Nekev Ulamata, that I made a ditch which is large enough to hold at least 2 sa worth of water below ground level. In other words, the point is that when I pour the water into my courtyard, it's going to go into this ditch, and it's not going to trickle into the Rishos HaRabim. Basically, it's going to stay in my Rishos, and then it's mutter, and that's okay, provided it's large enough to contain the amount of water that I use on a typical Shabbos. Now, if it happens to be that I overflow a little bit, that was never my intent in the first place, so it's going to be mutter. And the Mishnah then continues, Mem b'chutz, mem b'fnim. And this is true even if the ditch actually extends a little bit out. The difference is that if it's totally on the inside, I don't need to put some sort of stick, some sort of cover. Right, I have to put some sort of cover on top of the ditch to make it look like it's not part of the Rishos HaRabim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Biv Shehu Kamor Arba Amos Birushus HaRabim. If I have a gutter that goes into the Rishus HaRabim, meaning that it goes that it's before it actually, even though it extends into the Rishus HaRabim, but it has a distance of 4 amos before it extends all the way into the Rishus HaRabim. Shayfa l'toychei mayim b'shabbos. So you're allowed to pour water into that on Shabbos, as long as it has the distance of 4 amos. But Chachamim Rafilu Gag, and the Chachamim, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita basically is that if there's enough area that theoretically, if I pour water into it, the water is going to be absorbed in that ditch before it's going to go out to the Rishus Rabbim. It's going to be mutter. Whereas the Chachamim say the opposite. The Chachamim Rafilu Gag, a chotzer mea amo. Even if the roof is 100 amos long, which is very long, lo yishboich al pi abiv, you're not allowed to pour water directly into the gutter, because that looks like you're pouring it into the gutter for the purposes of getting it into the Rishos HaRabim. Avashevichu l'gag, but I could pour it onto the roof in a different area. V'hamayim yerdin l'biv, and the fact that it happens to be a little bit slanted, that the water is going to run into the gutter and then eventually from the gutter into the Rishos HaRabim, that's not my problem because I didn't pour it into the gutter. Whereas if I pour it into the gutter, the Gemara later is going to say that that's a problem because it looks like I'm pouring it as if I'm trying to pour it directly into the Rishos HaRabim. Hachotzer v'ha'achzadra mitztarfin la'arba amos. Now, one of the things that we said is that as long as the gutter, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita, if it's 4 amos long, so then it's not going to be a problem because it's considered a big enough area. That is true even about a courtyard and a hallway. They also, the two of them, and we'll discuss what the case is exactly, but the two of them are together, join up to create this Dalet Amis area. If you have two porches, okay, we're going to have to describe what this case is. You have two porches that are opposite sides of each other. And one side, the guy, imagine you have your door goes out onto a porch, and then from the porch you have to go down into this courtyard. Now in the courtyard, one of them decided to make like this ditch that can contain enough water, and one of them didn't make a ditch right next to his porch that can hold that amount of water. So we say like this, Esha asaduka uka mutarin. The guy who made the ditch, he's allowed to pour water into the chatzar. Esha lo yasa uka asurin. But the people that did not make the ditch are going to be usher to pour water into the chatzar, even though technically there is a ditch in the chatzar, and even though that ditch theoretically could hold his water also, but since he didn't make it, he does not have a heter to pour water, because his pouring water is as if, even if it happens to drip into the ditch, but his pouring water was intended, or looks like it was intended, to go into the Rishas Arabim, and therefore it's Asur. Whereas the person who made the ditch is allowed to pour into the Chatzar, because he took the precautions, he set it up so that when he pours the water in, it's not going to go into the Rishas Arabim. Again, all this is even talking about if it happens to be that the ditch fills up, and water ends up going into the Rishas Arabim, it's not my problem as long as I took the precautions ahead of time. My time, huh? Why is it that less than Dalet Amos, the chatzar is considered too small, Zok the Gemara, and I'm not allowed to pour water into my chatzar? Because normally, the normal amount of water that a person uses on a regular day is about 2 sa worth. So, Ba'arba Amos, Adam Roy Tzalzalfa. Now, the thing is like this. This is another issue, that when you have an area that also, if you want to sweep, remember, they didn't have normal floors then. So, if you want to sweep, you had to, if you sweep dust, it just flies up into the air and you don't accomplish anything. So what they used to do is they used to pour water on the floor first, kind of settle the dust, and then they'd be able to sweep that away. So if you have an area, Ba'arba Amos Adam Reitz of the Zalfan, so if the area itself is 4 Amos, so then what you're going to do is you're going to end up pouring the water into that area, and it's going to settle the dust. Pachas Midalad Midalad Shoifchin. But if you have an area that's less than Dalet Amos, which you're not pouring the water down. When you have 2 sa worth of water, you're not really going to be keeping the water for purposes of sweeping to settle the dust, but rather you're going to be pouring the water really to spill the water out so that it goes into the Rosh Hasharabim. And that's why, according to Rabbah, that's why it depends on how big the chatzar is. If the chatzar is big enough that you're going to need the water for your purposes, so then you're allowed to pour the water there. If the chatzar is too small, you're not allowed to pour the water, because then you're not really trying to keep the water. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get the water into the Rosh Hasharabim. So therefore, Ida Avid Uka Shari, if you made this ditch, it's going to be mutter. In other words, if it's less than 4 Amos, if you made the ditch, it's okay, because now again it shows that you're not intending for it to go into the Rosh Hasharabim. Eloi, Aser, but if you don't have a ditch, now it looks like you're trying to pour it into the Rosh Hasharabim. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. Rav Zera gives a different teretz. Dalet Amos, Taimi. If you have 4 Amos, he says that's just large enough, that's a big enough area that the water will technically be absorbed into the ground, and it won't end up spilling into the Rosh Hasharabim. Pachas Midalet Amos, Lai Taimi. If the area you're dealing with is less than 4 Amos, as Rashi says, 4 Amos squared, so then it's not enough ground area in order to absorb that much water, and it's going to be awesome. My Beinayu, what's the difference between these two pshatim? In other words, whether it's because I want the water or it's because the ground can absorb it. So Amar Abaya, Orich V'Katon Ita Beinayu. So it depends. Abaya says the difference is the shape. If it's the shape is just you have 4 Amos by... No, till now we've been talking about case 4x4, so it's an area of 16. If it's short but long, so it's 2x8, which is also 16. So if the logic is that the ground is going to absorb it, so it's still the same 16 feet of surface area. It's enough to absorb the water. It's going to be mutter. Whereas if the purpose is that you're going to want to use the water to settle the dust, when you have that kind of area, when it's a 2x8, that's not the kind of area that, again, you're going to try to sweep and dust down. So therefore, it's going to be usher. That's the way Rashi learns the nafkamino. Now, the Gemara continues. Tanan. So, in other words, it depends on the shape of whether it's the type of shape area that you're going to try to sweep and therefore keep the water. Tanan, the next Mishnah says, Chatzar v'achsadra mitzdarfin ledalad amis. One of the statements we made at the end of the Mishnah was that if you have both a courtyard and a hallway area, they do count to count together for the dalad amis. So now, bishleim of the Reb Seira, according to Reb Seira, that again all we cared about was the surface area sanichot. So now, we don't care what you call the area. The bottom line is there's dalad amis over here, so it's going to absorb the water. El Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, that the logic between over here is whether or not I wanted to settle the dirt. If they're two different areas, then they're not really the same. I'm not going to save the water for purposes of settling the dirt. So Kasha, why are those two? Why is the hallway and the chotzer mitzdarif? The Gemara answers: Tirgum of Rav Zera explains. I'll leave it to Rabba. According to Rabba's pshat, v'achzadra mahaleches alpanei kol chotzer kula. In other words, until now we didn't think that they were side by side, adjacent to each other, so that basically you had two by two running next to each other that created a square of 4x4. Until now we thought that they were one after the extended after the other, and we said that when you have these weird shapes, you're not really going to want to sweep them down. So Reb Zera said, no, that when our Mishnah said that the two are mitzdarif together, it's talking about that it's in a normal shape, that you have one 2x2 next to another 2x4, and they're right next to each other, so they create, so to speak, the square of 4x4, and that's why it's going to be mutter, even if the purpose is to settle the dust. Okay. Tashima, chatzur she'ein v'dalad amos, al dalad amos. If the chatzur doesn't have a 4x4 area, so we said b'feirush ein shayifchin l'toychem mayim, b'shabbos you're not allowed to pour water into it on Shabbos. So again, bishleim of the Rabba, according to Rabba, that the reason was because you're going to want to settle it down. That's why we dafka say 4x4, because we want it to be a proper shape that it's worth it for me to settle the dust. El Reb Zera kasha, but according to Reb Zera that says it's just a surface area, why does it have to be in this shape dafka? So the Gemara says, Hamani Rabbanan hi. That's going according to the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan say that the issue here is that even if it's 100 amos away, it's not going to be mutter. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and it's really, the rest of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That Mishnah that says it has to be dalad al dalad is going according to the Chachamim that say that you can't pour anything directly into a biv, into the gutter. And that's why they say it has to be in that shape, so it doesn't look like you're pouring it into the Rosh Hashanah. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to our Mishnah, and Achanami, the shape doesn't matter. I could pour it anywhere in the courtyard, and as long as there's enough, it adds up mathematically to a dalad al dalad area, it's going to be mutter. So now the Gemara says, Am I duchke the Reb Zeira lo'okumim l'masnisim k'Reb Elazar ben Yaakov? How did he know? Because Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, if you look back in the Mishnah, is only introduced halfway through the Mishnah. So, but this idea of dalad al dalad is the first line in the Mishnah. So how did Reb Zeira know? What forced Reb Zeira to learn the Mishnah that it's dalad, that the dalad al dalad was really going according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Shita the whole time? That it wasn't just Reb Elazar ben Yaakov where we introduce his name halfway through the Mishnah. Really, the whole Mishnah was really following Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Shita. Where did he get that from? Where did he see that in the Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Masnisim Kachista, because the Mishnah itself, when you read it on its face, is difficult to understand, and it needs an explanation. Because my ear is the Tanich Chotzer, Shu Pchusa. Why does it say that there is a Chotzer that is missing, that is lacking, therefore it's Aser? Listening, why don't we say the facts, why don't we say it the straightforward way? Say, listening, Chotzer She'ein Ba Dalad Amis, Al Dalad Amis. Why don't you say, if it doesn't have the specified area of Dalad Al Dalad, which is exactly the point over here, why does it use an expression of it's missing, it's lacking? Well, it doesn't tell us that it's like missing information. What is it lacking? Ella lav. So why does it say it that way? Shema mino to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Because according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, the main thing is, it's not the shape. It's not dalad al dalad. The main thing is that it doesn't have enough surface area. So that's what we say. It's lacking. When you say the word lacking, you know it's lacking an element. And the element is not the shape. The element is the size. It's missing something less than dalad al dalad. And therefore, shema mino, that's the raya that, because the Mishnah says it in this funny way, that must be that it's going according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, as opposed to saying it's straightforward, then we wouldn't know that it's necessarily a particular shita. So the Gemara says, okay, that sounds like a nice teretz, but the problem is, v'homi do sefer Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, reisha lav Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Again, as we said before, typically, when you introduce a shita in the middle of the Mishnah, that means this is the first time we're following this opinion. If the end of the Mishnah is going according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, which clearly it is, because the Mishnah says so, then the beginning of the Mishnah is going according to the different shita. So how do you get away with explaining even the beginning of the Mishnah according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov? So the Gemara explains, Kula Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Really, it is Reb Elazar ben Yaakov the whole way through. V'chsuri mechsura, and it's missing a couple of words in order to be able to read it through. V'hachi katani, and here's how to read the Mishnah properly. Chotzer shehu p'chusa midal ramais. If you have an area that's less than dal ramais, that again the lashon p'chusa ain't shayif from the toichay mayim b'shabbos. You're not allowed to pour water in it. Ha, this is what you have to add in. Ha, dal ramais. But if it does have dal ramais, shayifchin, you're allowed to pour water into that area once it has dal ramais. Why? Shavuolozim and Yaakov Omer, because Rav Elozim and Yaakov says, and this is where we have again pick up on our Mishnah. Biv hakomor, if you have a gutter that's carved out, Daladamas Berishas Rabbim, even if it extends into the Rishas Rabbim, Shaykhul Teichel Mayim B'Shabbos, then it's going to be mutter. Because again, the point is that once you have the ditch of Daladamas, which is enough to absorb, so then you're allowed to pour water into that area on Shabbos. Okay.